morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
Witches, it is January 15th, 2021. It is Friday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. I just want to remind everyone that I wrote and recorded these episodes on Sunday, January 10th. I just have a feeling it's Sunday, like in my time. It's Sunday, and I just have a feeling a lot of stuff's happened between now and then. So I'm going to preface this episode with saying, whatever happened, I hope everything's okay. Okay. Today's episode is brought to you by The Glam Witch book by Michael Herkes. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "Year's end is neither an end nor a beginning, but a going on, with all the wisdom that experience can instill in us." By Hal Borland. So we are drinking happy tea today from rootsandsun.com. And they have passion flower in the tea. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the magical properties of passion flower. This information comes to us from astrolotea.com. There will be a link in the description. So they say passion flower isn't that one of the most beautiful things you've ever seen. Just looking at the flower invokes magic. And indeed, the lovely herb is magical in its medicinal properties. So Passiflora, aka passion flower or passion vines, comes from the family of Passiflorisae. This beautiful flower has a rich history in both religious and cultural mythologies. It has been related to the Holy Grail, a crown, a star, a clock, and the color of the holy man's aura. It has inspired films, novels, and songs. The genus I use in my tea is Passiflora incarnata, also called maypop. Maypop is one of the hardest species of passion flower and is a common wildflower in the United States. It has long been used as a tea to treat conditions from epilepsy to sleep disorders. The primary benefit of passion flower is its sedative effect, soothing and quieting the nervous system, assisting in the peaceful deep sleep and calming anxiety and stress. Passion flower is also reported to help lower blood pressure and can be a strong, basically helps provide relief against pain, spasms, and cramps. Another known use for passion flower is to kill mold, fungi, and bacteria. So, one great thing I've heard about passion flower is that I'm a big fan of valerian root. I like to use it when I'm really anxious, like unconsolably anxious. I'll use a valerian root because it's just really calming and sedating. But from other people I've heard, passion flower is a great substitute for valerian if you can't take it for whatever reason. One of the most common reasons I've heard is just if you maybe just become tolerant to valerian root, if you've taken too much, passion flower could be a really good substitute. So I'm gonna take a sip of my tea. All right, so moving into some headlines, the Mary Sue wrote a wonderful article about the chilling adventures of Sabrina. And can I just say, the Mary Sue has some of the most forward-thinking, out-of-the-box, intelligent articles like I've seen on like pop culture. I'm just so impressed. So, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Why is it so hard to make good witch content? By Princess Weeks. So, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina has ended. And as I slogged through part 4, I found myself really disappointed at how a show with so much promise and such great aesthetic managed not to do anything worthwhile with it. A problem that tends to be at the core of many witch-centric shows. The most successful and long-lasting shows about witches are Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Charmed, and Bewitched. All have been rooted in some form with various ranges of success. But all of these shows depict witchcraft and magic in a very banal, flick-of-the-wrist type of way, with very little development of concepts within paganism or other magical practices, by keeping it very Wicca light. It can be non-religious, more of a superpower than actual faith, because when faith gets mixed into witchcraft, the results can be somewhat, well, chilling adventures of Sabrina. From the start of the series, the show really had a message of Satanism, patriarchy being a mess, and Sabrina coming in as a type of female entity that would push against that, an Arcadia type figure. And I love that idea. But then the series could not commit to what kind of magic and mythology we were dealing with. Witchcraft is not random. To use magic comes from an emotional place with intent and purpose. When Sabrina's coven decided to worship the dark goddess of Hecate, I was excited. The triple goddess is deeply connected to witchcraft and one of my personal patrons. But in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, she gets tied to things like childbirth and just general triple goddess mythology. Maiden Mother Crone archetype is not something historically tied to Hecate, especially since that is more of a 20th century conception that has been a big part of modern neo-pagan faith. Despite having the connection to dogs, thresholds, death, and necromancy, none of that is used in the battle against the bad guys in Sabrina. Side note from Tanya, that's why I really have always really liked Hecate, but it's because I work with death and necromancy in my practice. So the fact that Hecate kind of gets thrown as this catch-all goddess is really frustrating for people like me who do actually like her for her, between the worlds stuff. Let's see. The show's covens are run like Catholic churches. There's no sense of unity around nature except on a superficial basis. Deities and figures from other faiths pop in and out without any real grounding in what their witchcraft means. When Prudence went to New Orleans to seek out the Mambo Marie LaFleur, Haitian voodoo magic, I thought it would lead to more exploration of non-Western magic. But it was just a one-and-done adventure. When Roz is revealed to be a witch in the season, it could be a place to explore the Black American tradition of conjuring magic and hoodoo, but that doesn't happen. She just does the same thing as she's always done with no cultural connection to where her magic comes from. Sabrina illustrates an issue a lot of media has when dealing with witches. They think of it as something without faith, without a cultural history. But it has one. I mean, God, like, side note, that's what this whole podcast is about, right? We talk about the lifestyle of a witch. Like, this is a lifestyle podcast. We talk about the life of a witch. We talk about faith. We talk about culture. We talk about history. We talk about what it means to feel and to be and to be so exposed to the world. And that's an important part of being a witch, no matter what type of witch you are. So back to the article. Even in making it more fantastical, it doesn't mean that we can't spend some time to make sure that if we are going to have a coven of witches worship Hecate, that we actually get the lore right and not just lump together Greek religious ideas of Hecate with neo-pagan concepts of the triple goddess, or that we can't avoid taking historical African religions and just throwing it all together. The inconsistent ability to understand others' religion and mythology, let alone its own, made Sabrina a very perplexing show to watch at almost every level. From magic to morality to any sense of sisterhood, the show was all glamour with nothing below the depths. So this was a great, wonderful article by the Mary Sue. I will have a link directly to the article, but that was the whole thing. And this is what my issue with Sabrina has always been. The writing isn't very good. I'm very sensitive to television writing. I was a television kid. My mom jokes I, like, knew how to turn the TV on and make breakfast by 3. Like, I am very sensitive to, television writing. I'm very aware of where television writing has been, where it's going, and that was my biggest issue with the new Charmed, is they wrote the show, especially, I mean, I only watched the pilot, so I can only base off the pilot. But my biggest issue with The New Charmed was that it was written as if it was a 1980s writing style. Very, very misogynistic, very, very anti-feminism, but trying to cover it up by just saying they were feminists. And it the feminist writing was worse than the 90s version. And, like, that's not what they marketed it as, right? They were saying, well, we're new and better because we're more feminist. Like, that was their whole marketing was we're more feminist than the original. But if you actually watch it, it's not. It's same old stodgy anti-feminist writing, hoping if they say they're feminist enough, the audience is dumb enough to believe it. That was my biggest issue with Charmed. I stopped watching Sabrina after the first episode of season 2 because a very tropey writing. And it wasn't holding up to what it was trying to be. And, like, I kind of thought we expected more from Netflix. Do we not? I mean, or do we? I mean, we've had this conversation before. Netflix really writes for the aesthetic. Like, their shows are for the aesthetic, for the one season. It's not meant to be. Netflix doesn't. It's very weird. Like, Netflix almost writes its series as if they're just one really long movie. So once you get past a certain point, it all crumbles apart, you know? But this is a great article. I thought it spurred on a great conversation with myself. So I'm going to throw this over to our Moon correspondent, and then after this break, we'll talk more.
Hello to all of my astro gods and goddesses. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, January 15th. The waxing crescent moon is void of course today, here in the last remaining cubic feet of sky that is Aquarius. The upsets of the last few days cease rather suddenly and leave us drifting directionless in the calm firmament. We may feel unanchored today. While the turbulence was unwelcome, the abrupt cutting of the bonds to all of the planetary companions leaves the moon loosely floating like a wistful balloon. Give yourself permission to take a breather today. It may feel a little unsettling after the trials and tribulations of the past few days, but consider this the perfect time to clear the slate and prepare yourself for whatever comes next. Your daily moon mantra is, the best way to pay for a lovely moment is to enjoy it. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Glam Witch. Lilith has been feared, worshipped, analyzed, and dissected by many. Yet she remains an enigma cloaked in a riddle of witchcraft. Today, she has found a place of elevation as a quintessential goddess in an array of occult practices, revered for her fierce independence, carnal appetite, and thirst for equality. The Glam Witch plants the practice of modern witchcraft in Lilith's Garden of Glittery Fruit. Laid out over a sparkling assemblage of chapters, a modern mystic will explore the theory, practice, and lifestyle of the great Lilithian arcane mysteries, Glam. The Glam Witch is now available for pre-order on Amazon.
All right, so moving into our question of the day, this comes to us from listener Heather from our Facebook group. I'm going to take a sip of my tea. So Heather says, I've been trying to do shadow work. I haven't been able to find any good books or information. We actually had a whole episode about this since she posted this. So we have an episode that has links to good books on shadow work. So if anyone listening is like, oh, me too, like go back like a month and we have an episode. She says, so far I've tried journaling prompts I found on Pinterest, which I always feel like I'm not quite writing enough. I read books. I'm not particularly good at meditating because I have ADHD, so it has to be guided. Is there any suggestions on how to do shadow work? One of the biggest things I've noticed about shadow work is at the end of the day, shadow work is a psychological thing. It's a psych term. It's been picked up by the spiritual community, which cool, you know. Why not? But shadow work at the end of the day is just hardcore therapy. I mean, that's really, that is truly what it is. It's therapy. It is the ability to know yourself fully. And to do that, you typically need help. So if you are someone who's trying to get into shadow work and you're reading the books, you're watching the videos, but you're journaling, but it's just like not working, find a therapist. And I know that's a very privileged thing to do. I can't see a therapist. I don't have the money to do so. It's insanely expensive to get care in this country, especially with insurance. Shoot, I had insurance. I tried to find a therapist and it still cost me $100 a pop. Like, it's insane. So if you have the ability, if you have the ability to get a therapist, please do it. That's shadow work's therapy. And I don't know why all of a sudden we expect ourselves to be able to be our own therapist. Because I hate to say it and not to sound like a merc, but that's kind of what we've pushed shadow work to be. Shadow work became really, really hypey in the witchy community, spiritual community a few years ago. And we're starting to see the breakdown of that, because while it's a great idea, and yes, shadow work's good, we kind of put all this expectations of shadow work on ourselves, completely ignoring the fact it is it's therapy. And so now we have a bunch of witches who feel like they have to do shadow work. They're being told in every book to do shadow work. And in reality, they're just being told to therapize themselves, and then we're shocked when they can't do it. Oh my gosh, if this episode isn't just soapboxy, I don't know what is, because I didn't even know I had feelings about this, and I didn't even know I felt this way until I read this right now. Yeah, that's really what I'm going to give you. That's what I'm going to say. If you're struggling, you need help. You need someone to help you with it. It's ridiculous to expect ourselves to be able to therapize ourselves. And that's how I feel about it. You know, it's really funny. Someone told me a few years ago, we were talking about channeling. And they were saying, the way you channel is you just start talking. And then things you didn't even know you thought, felt, or had feelings about just come out. And that is how you help people. That's what they said. And it was a really lovely idea. And it wasn't until this podcast do I see it. Because I didn't even know I thought this about shadow work until literally the words were coming out of my mouth. So those are my thoughts. But if you do want to check out books, we do have a podcast episode that does focus on shadow work. I think it was about a month ago. I have some links to some books. But also, can we stop putting pressure on every person in the spiritual community to do shadow work on their own? Because that's ridiculous. We wouldn't tell someone to give themselves therapy. So we shouldn't be telling people to do shadow work by themselves. That is all. Mm-mm-mm. All right, witches. Drinking my happy tea. Let's see. I just have a weird feeling. I'm recording this on Sunday. I just have I literally just finished recording Thursday's episode, and now I'm recording Friday's. I just have a feeling something's gone down in the world. I don't know what. It's freaking me out. All right, so we have a witch fail, woohoo, from listener Breck. Breck says, I wanted to share a bit of a witch fail with you guys. I put some of my crystals and some moon water out to get charged up last night. Well, my dumb, slightly intoxicated ass didn't think about how cold it's been. Oh my gosh, I haven't even finished reading this, but I feel like it's going to be hilarious. She says, I live in the mountains, and it got to 0 degrees Fahrenheit last night. Facepalm. Woke up to busted moon water. What? Busted moon water whiskey bottle. Oh, the glass froze. I'll give it another try tonight. Shoot. That's interesting. Question for my crystal people, because I'm not crystally, so I'm not going to claim to really know how it works. Would putting your crystals in the freezing, frozen air even charge them? Aren't they stagnant at that point? I don't know. These are questions I have. All right, witches. So we have some fun ideas. This comes to us from the January 2021 issue of Witch Way magazine, Everyday Magic for the Lazy Witch, written by Luna Fay. So we have a few ideas, and I get this question all the time. One of the questions we get most often into the podcast is, how can I put magic in my everyday life? And this is a wonderful example. One, your morning coffee. While you're preparing your witch's brew, take a few moments to plan your day. Stir clockwise to invoke productivity before sipping away. Get ready to take on your to-do list. Showering. Bathing is literally washing bad stuff off of your body. Think of it as a cleansing ritual. Hang a sachet or herbal bundle from your shower head. Visualize negative energy and stress from the day going down the drain. Cooking. Fuel your body with nourishment and magic. If you like to cook from scratch, use ingredients that correspond with intentions you need. Try recipes from magical cookbooks. Carve sigils into food. And most importantly, eat things that make you feel good. Yes, because when I tell you, I've been eating a lot of cheese lately, and I feel like crap. Meditation. Release tension. Clear your mind and meditate for just a few minutes every day. If you have extra time, do some yoga or stretches. Even a little bit each day will have a positive effect on your mind and body. Next is aromatherapy. Use essential oils for quick and simple plant magic. Burn incense or candles to energize your space while focusing on other things. And this is a big one. I am someone, I and I'm sure other people do this, but I tend to identify scents to places. So I can tell you the smell of both of my apartments. Like, I've lived it in multiple places, but my living alone apartments, I've had two, and I can tell you the exact scents that were the first scents I had candlewise. My apartment in Tampa, it was a 300 square foot tiny little apartment. My new one's not much bigger. Tiny apartment, studio, and I burned lavender leaves from the Henry Bendel, which no longer exists, cry collection. Lavender leaves, when I smell it, I like, it's, oh my god, it just reminds me of that time and space and being like a new social witch and like having a group and like doing things together. It really, and then here it was, I think it was Parisian cafe in Paris for my apartment here. It's like a coffee, and when I smell it, I get all those feelings again. Oh, it's the best. Travel spells, charm bags, and spell jars are a great way to make magic wherever you go. They do require some time and energy to make, but once you've charged it up with intention, all you need to do is grab it and go. Finally, crystals. Carry crystals with you for a magical boost. Wear crystal jewelry, hide tumbled stones in your pocket. Take them out before laundry. Place crystals for concentration on your desk and keep protective stones in your car. The possibilities are endless. And then finally, bedtime. Get a good night's sleep. Drink tea made from herbs like lavender, chamomile, mugwort. Light calming scented candles. Use a salt lamp and charge your pillow with sleep spray or charm bag. All right, witches. That's all I've got for you today. We're wrapping up this episode of The Witch Daily Show. I do want to give a shout out to listener Amber Hoffman. Amber, you magical, mystical spinster. I also want to give a shout out to listener Spence. Spence, you mystical, brilliant, tropical fish. And then finally, Nicole Lilly. Nicole, you poetic, scholarly sunfish. Thank you three so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. We do have a card pull before we leave. Our card today is the Great Mother from the Witch's Wisdom Tarot. This is all about the goddess, divine embodiment, creation, love, nature, nurture, abundance, generosity, blessings, fulfillment, and affirmation. You're perfect just the way you are. You have things to learn, skills to develop, self-acceptance and healing to attend to, but great oaks from little acorns grow. The blueprint for your soul's fulfillment and your destiny is already written within you. Mother herself, give yourself the love and encouragement, care and reassurance, nourishment and attention you deserve. Remember, you're a child of Mother Earth. Spend time with her. Connect to her. You're connected to yourself and all the wholeness and mystery, tenderness, ferocity, wildness and willingness, and you're always supported, nourished, protected by unconditional love from which you were created. All right, witches, I can't think of a better way to end this week than that sentence. So that's all I got for you today. I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you guys soon.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? find the Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.